Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 12 minutes after 9 o'clock, it's time for the Roundtable panel. Before I introduce the panel, I want to let you know you can weigh in by emailing us, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Keep them relatively brief. Alan will try to get to as many as he can during the program. You can also go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable. If you scroll down a little bit, you'll see a comment portion for today's panel discussion, and you can post your comments there. All who go to the website will then read them. So, you know, choose
your
words
choice.
Carefully.
You can come to us, or you can go to them.
Right.
What do you mean? Here comes Rosemary now.
Oh, here's Rosemary.
So now you can introduce her.
All right, now we'll introduce the panel. Okay. With us today is our resident political observer, et cetera, Alan Shartok. Nice to have you here, Alan.
And it's nice to be with you, Ray. It's always fun when you keep it real.
All right. Libby Post, a political consultant, and we've been having a lovely chat about various issues before the show, and we're all warmed up for the program. Nice to have you here, Libby.
Thanks, Ray.
And Rosemary, where were you?
No, I was in the green room. I'm reading all this, like, pile of homework you gave me.
And we won't get to but half of it.
I know. Well, I know it all.
And that's the big difference between Rosemary and I. I have to say that I am.
Your motto is?
My motto is anyone can prepare.
Anyone can prepare. Well, we've done some preparations and we're ready. You know, the storm is winding down finally in Albany.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has been a particularly long-lived and nettlesome storm.
Nettlesome, that's a good word. Isn't that a great word, nettlesome?
You know, it has plodded along, but yet it has really dumped quite a bit of snow, and depending on where you are, a lot of snow. Mm-hmm. And I'm just happy to see it
waning. Well, it is almost winter, after all.
Okay.
It is that time of
year. Well, it's a
little
early for all of this.
Well, it started by around Thanksgiving. It is a little early, but that's global warming for you.
That's fine.
Well, I hate it. I don't know why I'm in the Northeast.
Well, most of the time you're not.
All right, well played. All right, one mark for Alan. All right.
Okay, well, that's a good point.
Let's start the show with some good news. Mario Cuomo, former New York governor, out of the hospital, as reported in the New York Times. Former governor Mario M. Cuomo, what's the M stand for?
Matthew,
was hospitalized last month for treatment of a heart problem. He has returned home. So that's
good news.
That's
great. Yeah. It's good to hear. You know, all of our hearts are with him on this. He's a good man, and I hope things go better.
Yeah, he's 82.
I think something like that.
Yeah, 82 years old. And in a quote from his son, Chris Cuomo, we're all happy about that, especially Pop. Chris Cuomo, of course, a CNN anchor. Who's on probably right now.
Probably
right
now.
Competing with us. Dirty
Rat. How dare he.
Some other New York State news that crossed yesterday afternoon. John King Jr. stepping down as New York's education commissioner for a post in the Obama administration. The Department of Education said yesterday that King will leave his state position at the end of the year to be senior advisor to U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan. King was appointed commissioner in May of 2011 and oversaw a series of major, often contested reforms, including implementation of the Common Core learning standards intended to better prepare students for college and careers. He was also at the helm when New York began requiring annual teacher evaluations based in part on student performance on Common Core-aligned standardized tests, a position that made him the main target of opposition to both initiatives. In a statement, King said he's humbled and honored to work with President Obama and Duncan. What do you think, Alan?
Well, I'm a big King fan, although, you know, there were some flaws. The rollout of the Common Core was a little hasty in terms of preparation, but he tried to do the right thing. You know, he is, of course, both of color. He's black and Hispanic. You know, I think that he really cares a great deal about students and about people who need to get to the top of the pile. And I'm a big fan of that. I think it makes sense. The regents tried to do the right thing with the Common Core, and it really did cause an awful lot of consternation. You know, it really reminds me a little bit about the whole thing with Obamacare, where the Republicans just kept saying over and over again, Obamacare is terrible, Obamacare is terrible, Obamacare is terrible, till people who had no idea what it was were saying, oh yeah, that's really terrible. I think the same thing happened with Common Core, to be honest with you. I think it was a well-meaning thing. Sure, it could have been planned better. It could have been rolled out better. Sound familiar? But its aim was to give everybody a good education and to raise standards. And you know, we're now seeing things like schools of ed raising their own values to the point where people are asked to pass a rudimentary test before they can get into a classroom. I'm for that. I mean,
So you're for the Common Core?
Well, I'm certainly for the goals of the Common Core. I don't think anybody has ever said they're not for the goals of the Common Core, which is to raise standards. I think that the big issue was the testing and the on Common Core that was part of it, and also you know the idea that it was rolled out badly. There could have been more preparation, but that's what everybody always says.
Well, I have friends who were teachers, one who's an administrator, who was clear, you know, we were talking about this. What Common Core was about wasn't bad.
No.
I mean, it was really quite good. The essence of it was what needed to have happened, but it was the rollout. And that was the problem, just like the rollout of healthcare. You know, it was the same.
Nobody can
make
the argument that the rollout of healthcare was done correctly.
Right. And no one can make the argument that the rollout of Common Core was done all that well either. And, you know, but I still have folks that I know. You know, there was one guy downstate who's pulled his kids out of public schools because of Common Core. I have another friend from high school who lives in my hometown who's, you know, rah-rah when her kids say, I'm not taking these tests. And she stands behind the kids, you know. Mm-hmm. So parents are split on this. You know, the proof will be in the pudding in 10 years to see how the state's test scores go.
Well, only if if the implementation is done. Now, you know, Rosemary almost always takes a counter position from anything I say. So, Rosemary,
I have a couple of questions on this one. Doesn't sound like a great job. It's high ranking, but the Obama administration is winding down.
But it's nice for a resume.
He left and then is going to Washington. So,
well, he wasn't going to be here 2 years from now anyway. That's for sure.
He's taking the second highest ranking job.
Yeah, but in the waning days of the administration.
Yes,
and also he
positioning himself for when Hillary becomes president.
Hmm. Could be.
Okay, that might be.
Okay, Rosemary.
Second, the teachers union's happy to see him go. Yep. I don't think that's the same as Tea Party or saying Obamacare doesn't work.
Great point.
They don't like him. And third, I'm just in general, I don't like that there are charter school people running everything. Our governor's a big charter school fan, so is his commissioner has been. How come we can't get somebody who just believes in public schools?
Well, you know, I think that's a little bit of a cheap shot, to be honest with you. I'm a big fan of the teachers union, really big. My mother thought that Albert Shanker was the greatest man who ever lived. You know,
Ravi Shanker?
Ravi Shanker. He played an instrument.
Sitar.
Albert Shanker was the lauded head of the teachers union, featured in the movie Sleeper with Woody Allen. Because when they find when they go back and they say how did World War III start? And this is a futuristic film. They said a madman named Albert Shanker got a hold of an H bomb.
I think Rosemary's point was an excellent one.
Of course you do.
You had said you had compared this to Republicans railing against Obamacare. However, this the attitude against Common Core is unique in that it both encompasses the far right, who says, hey, I don't want the federal government dictating standards, and the unions who say, well, now just wait a minute. How can we grade our teachers based on this? So there is both sides of the political spectrum attacking the Common Core.
So as the old saying goes, they must have been doing something right. However, I did take great exception to something Rosemary just said.
Not surprising. What is it?
No. She did this sort of thing where she said, you know, how come the charter schools are running everything? Well, the charter school champions are running everything.
Well,
are you amending your statement?
No,
now?
I'm clarifying your restatement of it.
You mean you're clarifying it, but you didn't say it, did you?
Yes, I did say
it. You said
why
champions?
Why are the people who are champions
roll the tape.
But
I'm telling you now, the whole theory here was to give parents the kinds of choices that white middle class parents had in other situations. So, for example, you know, on the West Side where I grew up, there was always Stuyvesant, there was Science, there was Brooklyn Tech. Or you could send your kid to Fieldston or to Horace Mann or to whatever, you know, the Riverdale. But if you're a poor kid, maybe of color, maybe not, you didn't have that chance. And this offered another chance to parents who did not want to see their kids go down, you know, the pipe.
Except that Stuyvesant and Bronx Science.
Yeah, meritocracy.
And you know, were part of the public school system.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a separate entity that siphoned money from the public school system. It was SP, whatever that stood for. You had to take some tests, and then you got into the school.
You make it sound
very
simple. Then you get it.
You got into.
A lot of people didn't get in.
Well, no, but you had to pass the test. Okay, but it doesn't. But it was part of the public school system in New York City, and it still is.
Look, Libby,
didn't take money away from the public schools.
Look, Libby, everything is different. Everything is different. It's always going to be different. Ray Graff says, well, this was different from Obamacare because Obamacare is this and this is that. But everything is different. I happen to be a big fan of teachers' unions, you know, and I happen to think that they've been abused in so many ways by cheap tin horn politicians. And I have said that again and again and again.
True.
Nevertheless, I also think this is one part of the picture. If you take a look at the totality of schools in New York State, you would have to use a magnifying glass to see how many charter schools there are.
Okay. Well, listen, we'll take a break here. You can fight it out in the brief time that we're off mic, and then we'll come back. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. And I take it nobody here for vouchers for private schools? Anybody?
No.
All right, let's take a break.
Support comes from College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. collegestreetmotors.com. The Madison Theater, Albany, New York, showing classic and second-run movies, serving organic popcorn, now open the Madison Live Music Performance Theater, themadisontheater.com. And Great Barrington Rudolf Steiner School, announcing new openings for pre-K and kindergarten students starting January 5th, gbrss.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC 924 on a Thursday morning. You know, it's the Roundtable panel. That means Libby Post is here, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok. Ray Graff here in for Joe Donahue. The email address, roundtable@wamc.org. And Alan, is the mailbag full, empty, or in between?
Well, in between. Right. Scott says, the education director's kids were in private school, were not subject to Common Core. This does not send a strong message that the education director valued it much. Why aren't his kids in public schools? And Philip said, not global warming, global weirding. The weather's not getting perceptibly warmer, but weather patterns are definitely getting weird. And that's from Philip.
Okay.
Yes, I agree.
And that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, if you want to weigh in at any point in the next 35 minutes, we'd love to hear from you briefly.
I gained 10 pounds.
You gained 10 pounds?
I did, from the time that this season began. You said, do you want to weigh in?
So I see. So you've actually gained 10 pounds?
Yes, 10 pounds.
What are you up to, 112 now?
No. Actually, I've lost two of those, but 140.
Wow. Holy mackerel.
You really can't tell. You carry it.
Well,
very
he wears
well.
Vertical stripes, and you know, it's very slimming.
And all right. and black all the time, which is also very
tribute slimming. Tribute to Johnny Cash.
Ah.
Although Johnny Cash didn't wear a WAMC baseball cap 24/7.
Nor did he wear a tie much.
That's a good point. Well, at least we all agree on something.
Okay,
Time magazine says Ebola fighters have won its 2014 Person of the Year award. The winner was announced yesterday. Pope Francis, of course, was last year's winner. In an article on the Time website, editor Nancy Gibbs praises Ebola fighters from around the world who work side by side with local doctors, nurses, ambulance drivers, and burial teams. She cites their tireless acts of courage and mercy. She says the rest of the world can sleep at night because a group of men and women are willing to stand and fight.
She's right.
Yeah, I love this cover. I think it's really richly deserved, and it's a great balance. All the times that we were talking about craven politicians and nurses and health workers not doing what the government asked them to, and we're carping, and some of our listeners would say raising shock and doubt about Ebola. These people are really in the field risking their lives. I think they're remarkable. I'm really glad that this selection was made.
I think the other thing that this does is it raises the notion of we need to come together as a community. We need to work together. We need to volunteer. We need to get beyond our own individual selves as something for people to aspire to and to praise and to think is a good thing, because these people volunteered, most of them. They put their own lives at risk. And this is what being part of a community should be about, where you come together to make the community a better place to live. And they did it in West Africa, and they left their homes to do it. And some of them died doing it. But, that is the ultimate sacrifice. But it's about altruism, and altruism has won out over craven politicians. I am so glad it was these folks and not Vladimir Putin.
Well, and then, of course, we haven't all exactly distinguished ourselves with the reaction to their when they come back.
Well, no kidding.
Yeah, and but I think that's a separate issue. But I'm glad.
Are you referring to the woman in Maine?
Yeah, no, I'm referring to the general apprehension about anybody who was in this group coming back here. And, not being properly quarantined and not having to. Yes.
So did you see the Saturday Night Live take on her? Oh, my God, it was hysterical. You think I've been hard on her. It was like they have her with this massive curly hair, and she's standing there saying, "What does it mean that I have Ebola? Nothing. I can do anything I want." It was just hysterical.
Well, but there you go.
But this, as I say, is a great balance. And Libby is right. We don't talk enough these days in our political discourse about the common good, doing things for community and for others. It's all about ourselves, what's best for ourselves.
For me,
and these are people who are living a different life. It's wonderful, Michael.
And they make clear in the article, this fight is not over.
No,
right. There's
no.
A long way to go, and it may get worse again before it gets better.
The acute phase is over just for now, right?
Indeed. Anything quickly? We only have about a minute here, Alan. In the mailbag?
No, except that I'm noticing that the Colorado Symphony, this may not seem like important stuff to you, but Colorado Public Radio, which played the Colorado Symphony, is taking it off. And the Colorado Symphony gets $90,000 in underwriting for just, underwriting. And now, and the Colorado Symphony people are saying, well, they get our product and we get nothing. So, this is one of those discussions that occur in public radio land that I thought I'd use this half a minute for.
Nice.
Okay. Well,
that was nice. And unfortunately, there's no time to comment. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. We'll break for a brief bit of news and we'll be back. Hello again. It's 9:34. It's the Roundtable on WAMC. The panel starts the show, and we are about halfway through. Alan Shartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, and this is Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. The email address here, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. And before we jump into the next topic, Alan, anything?
A couple of letters. I want to point out that I read them, but I don't necessarily understand them, and I don't necessarily agree with them.
Okay.
Okay. Mohegan says, New York has always had standards and tests. Why wouldn't we update both to meet the changing needs of the world? And what is tested is what is taught. As a parent, I would want to know if my child was not meeting grade level appropriate goals and assurance from my school district that he/she is well prepared, is well prepared for the world of work or higher ed.
All right.
And then Taparo says, why are you so willing to admit that unions do not like Common Core, but you are not willing to say that unions don't like Obamacare? I didn't know that was the case. Does anybody else know that unions don't like Obamacare?
I've never heard that.
Me neither. Well, so there you go. And And Joyce says, waiting for commentary about whether the federal shutdown will occur as of 12 p.m. tonight, will the lobbyists win? Well, make no mistake about it, Joyce. The lobbyists are going to win on this one because there's stuff in that bill, in that 1,600-page bill, that represent the special interests of banks and others. There's no
right.
And Cam, there's no question
and Elizabeth
about that.
Warren is leading the liberal charge against the spending bill.
Well, if you want to talk about Elizabeth Warren, I want you to know that there are spates of stories all over the place people who want Elizabeth Warren to run for president against Hillary in the Democratic primary. She says she won't do it. I think my position has always been if she wins, if she runs, she could win a lot of primaries, just as Obama won a lot of primaries.
And we'll lose the general.
And the general election would be lost. I didn't say we because, you know, I'm not a Democrat. So there's that. And like that. So
okay.
Is that enough? On that, because that's all I seem to have.
It's enough for me. Let's go on. Now, I gave the panel a ridiculously large stack of topics today.
Yes.
And I thought the second half of the program.
I was almost late reading it.
Number of trees.
The thing is, I thought I would have a panel's choice for the second half.
Okay, so, panel's choice.
So, Libby, your choice for this first segment of the second half.
Oh, it's the story that Casey Siler had, I guess, in the 2U this morning. New York jumps on bandwagon with state of opportunity. And I'm sure some people who read this will say, oh, we're wasting taxpayer money. You know, it's a $217 million contract, blah, 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 blah. Look, you know.
Well, wait, you got to explain a little bit.
All right,
bit
let
more.
Me set okay, it up.
Well,
I'll read the beginning
fine.
Of the article.
Sure.
This is a great piece by Casey Siler in the Albany Times Union. Titled New York Jumps on Bandwagon with State of Opportunity. Education is orange, public safety is smoky gray, and only the governor gets to use the Great Seal. These visual commandments and hundreds more are contained in an 87-page branding Bible that last week was distributed to every state agency to support the concept of New York as the, quote, state of opportunity. The motto and its accompanying logo will be mandatory for agency and or program communications, according to this handbook. Now, this is the result of 2 years of research. A huge advertising giant in New York City, BBDO, handled most of this. And so your tax dollars at work. We have new branding. And now, Libby, take it from there.
Well, you know, Alan laughed at the 2 years of research, and I sort of laughed at that, too, because, you know, I this is what I do for libraries all the time. And the notion of opportunity speaks to New York State as no one, nothing else will. I use it for 2 libraries in Westchester County, and they were both very successful. And we actually saved one library using opportunity as part of their, it was where opportunity awaits, you know. This is what's called, what I call, a community values-based brand, where the how I do it is where the library is a reflection of the community, and the community can see itself in the library, and that's when it's a win-win situation. It's all about the experience. Now, the fact of the matter is, you know, you pay what you paid, the $217 million, to get that 87-page branding Bible, which is something that I do in a page and a half. You
right.
know,
we could they could have had a better
right,
deal.
Right, they could have had a better deal. I mean,
yeah.
This was DDBO; they're a really big firm.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm a little pizzola kind of firm. But the fact of the matter is, what's going to be really interesting here is I can just see all the memes happening out there in social media land because the governor is the only one who can use the Great Seal of New York.
I love it. And what do you think this is? What do you think this is?
I'm not sure. What is that?
The Great Seal.
Oh, the Great Seal. Okay. You know, thousands upon thousands.
I was hoping
thousands,
it wouldn't be silly today.
Yeah, but thousands upon thousands of business
happen.
Cards are going to have to be reprinted if the governor is the only one.
I saw on a motorcycle. I saw the guy on a motorcycle.
Okay.
And he had the Great Seal on the front of his motorcycle.
I mean, the fact of the matter is New York has always seen itself as a place for opportunity, and this is just what they say, branding it and reinforcing it in people's minds.
Only the governor can have the Great Seal?
Yes, only the governor can have the Great Seal. So
I don't want to buy groceries here anymore. I don't like this new branding.
I see. I gotcha. Yes.
And what happened to I Love
okay,
New York?
Okay,
that
that's
cool.
Great. That's a great question.
That's being maintained.
That's a legacy logo.
Right.
And
so
there are a few of those.
Brands?
No, well, that I Love New York is for tourism. What I found interesting that they said the Startup New York program was legacy, and it just started a few years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, the lottery is a legacy, the MTA is a legacy, and I Love New York and Startup.
And this is a great quote from Seiler's article in the Times Union. Design resistance is futile, quote, because these elements and their relation to each other are so essential to the New York State brand, the booklet states. The guidelines around these primary brand elements are very specific and not open to much interpretation.
All of this is like nailing Jell-O to the wall.
Explain.
Well, you know, for those of us who are inside, we understand it. For those who are of us who don't get this at all and are on the outside, it's seen as a massive waste of taxpayer dollars. I'm sure we're going to hear that. But ultimately, in the long run, if this works well, we will see more business coming here. We will see
from the great state of the Great Seal.
Right. Well, from the Great Seal, but also from just the whole marketing program that will probably come from this. This only works when you put a lot of money into it.
Hmm.
That's the thing.
A lot of money to an advertising agency.
That's right.
What, 200-something million dollars?
$217 million.
How many businesses coming to the state will define success, I wonder?
I have no idea. I doubt that's in the Bible.
Okay. All right. Well, our friend Bill Vannevar checked in and said, "Hi, y'all. The reason I support the idea of Elizabeth Warren running is not her improbable victory, but her effect on the conversation during the debates. She's not going to do it. She said she's not going to do it."
But it seems that regarding this spending plan, which I believe has to be approved today,
yes,
there is a growing liberal sentiment that says, wait a minute, the Dodd-Frank rollback
it's outrageous.
Will not fly. Now, the president's spokesman yesterday more or less didn't come out and say it, but intimated saying the president could probably sign this as is.
Yeah. It's called compromise. You don't get everything you want. The liberals don't have the votes to get what they want. I think it's going to happen.
Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
So where does this put the Nancy Pelosi's and the Harry Reid's on the spectrum?
Get in line.
Yeah, they're already in line. They're already supporting it.
No, not out in the cold. They're supporting it because they know this is the best they can get, and they got to give away some stuff.
Right, but ultimately they will be out in the cold.
The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. You can also go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable. There is a spot to comment there, and that will be up long after the program is done. Mr. Hopper, if you please, let's take a break, and then we'll do Rosemary's Choice.
Support comes from Rhinebeck Artist Shops, professional picture framing and fine art materials, Rhinebeck New Paltz, and now at 793 Broadway in Kingston. RhinebeckArt.com. Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years. QFCC.com. And Adams Ferriker Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, and Wappinger, fresh trees, hand-decorated wreaths, tree ornaments, Adams-grown poinsettias in multiple colors, and more. AdamsFarms.com.
Roundtable on WAMC. 9:43 is the time on a somewhat gray but less snowy Thursday here by our spacious downtown Albany studios. Alan Shartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, and Ray Graff. And before we jump to the next topic, a couple things. One, Libby, you wanted to add something about the rebranding, the state of opportunity.
Right. I just wonder how they're going to really control the use of the Great Seal of the state of New York, which is that little thing with, I think.
Very easy, Libby. Very easy, Libby. This governor does not. The PIOs are chessmen on the board.
Absolutely.
And if he's and if they see anything, believe me.
But in the Assembly, in the Senate, in the Controller's Office, in the AG's office, online, where people are going to take it do all kinds of things to it, it's going to be very interesting to watch.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, and the email address, roundtable@wamc.org. And Alan, we have one or two?
Rob says, people do not seem to be well-informed enough to act like they have fully researched the Common Core guidelines and how they came about. It's too easy, considering public education, all the programs have come and gone, to jump on this bandwagon. Furthering public education is extremely complicated and cannot be framed simply by the current national education theme. There is a long history here that cannot be discounted. It goes on, but that's all I'm going to read because it's too big. No one goes far enough in this discussion, at least this is from somebody else, from Funny. No one goes far enough in this discussion, or parenthesis, at least in Albany, who do, capital D-O, drain our public dollars. Why are parents really choosing charter schools? Think about it. It's one of two things. One, they don't want their children with kids who are not being brought up by parents who teach their kids to respect education, and therefore disrupt the teacher from teaching. Two, when the public schools start telling some parents that their child needs to start following rules of the public school and start learning, they go to charter thinking that the kid can do as they wish, but come back after charter kicks them out for the same disruptive behavior that they exhibited in public schools. But public schools cannot kick them out. Such a cycle of the real problem. I think. You think
true.
It's true?
Yeah, that's
true.
Yeah.
No, part of
charter
it is.
Charter schools.
Part of it is true. But I don't think people, that charter schools show less achievement than public schools.
They show achievement because they can set conditions like
that.
Anybody who's troublesome, you throw out.
That's all true, I guess.
I'm perplexed by the fact that you can support charter schools and not support private schools.
Say it again.
I'm perplexed by the fact that one can support charter schools and not be a supporter of private schools.
I'm not sure I get that.
In other words, the discussion of private schools and vouchers for private schools, and yet charter schools are paid for. You're not paying for the charter school.
Charter schools, you have to remember, are public schools. Under the law of the state of New York, charter schools are public schools.
They're a parallel system of public schools.
But they are public schools.
There's a lot of things that are under the laws of the state of New York that we all don't agree with.
And if you want to see a new segregation, you start giving out vouchers.
I'm not saying
this to vouchers.
I'm responding to Ray's question.
Okay. I'm not saying yes to vouchers.
There's no call to
But isn't there already somewhat, I don't want to say segregation, but isn't there already, if there are charter schools, isn't that already happening?
What?
In other words, you have
charter
a separate.
Schools, I just got Struz telling you, are not.
But they're separate.
Listen to me, Raymond. I mean, listening is important.
Who's taking the tone now? Whoa.
Maybe a little, but charter schools are public schools. They are regulated by the state. They have to be. You have to be admitted by lottery, meaning that everybody gets a chance, the same chance. Those are all conditions that are put on by the legislature in setting up a charter school law.
And they're run by private companies.
Some are. Some aren't. Some are, some aren't.
And the fact that they get to kick out the kids who don't perform well is really problematic.
And I was very proud of my son Jonas.
I know.
When he was in charge of the charter school, authorizers in New York State, when he had the courage to walk before a crowd of hooting people who wanted to keep an inferior charter school going, and to look them in the eye and say, "I'm closing this school because it's not working." That's something that happens with a charter school.
I think we'd just all be better off if we had public schools that we all supported.
Everybody went there.
That's what made this country great. We have gone away from it. I do not understand why. Why are there parallel systems? I can't oppose private schools because in this country we have the right. If you have the money, send your kids someplace else. But to bifurcate and to dispel the power of parents in a public school system is
Part of the problem is that they're taking the public money that would have gone to the public schools to fund the charter schools. So it weakens the public schools. And we see it in Albany, in the Albany public schools all the time. And you want to talk about segregation, Bridal Choices is a segregated charter school system.
What do you mean segregated?
Mostly African-American kids go to those schools. Yeah. And understandably, why the parents want their kids to succeed.
So they have a chance.
So they have a chance, and I get that. But if they and part of it is, we've given the Albany Public Schools so much opportunity and they haven't been able to rise above, and that was a product of a machine politic here for so long. Mm-hmm. Let's try to give the Albany Public Schools another opportunity here and not take funding away from it by going to the charter schools that have really not a lot of oversight. Mm-hmm. I mean,
so lack of funding is the problem in Albany schools, in your estimation?
Well, money is being taken from the tax base.
That's absolutely
that go
right.
To public schools.
Of course, it's the problem. It's
always
the problem.
It's always the schools.
All right. It's 10 minutes before 10 o'clock here on the roundtable. And Rosemary's choice is what's your
the story on a new survey by the Pew Foundation. gun control and gun rights in America, and it's really shocking statistics. Do you want to do the setup?
Yeah, this is from our own website, WAMC.org. You'll find it right on the front page. Gun rights outweigh gun control in new Pew survey. For the first time in at least 20 years, significantly more Americans say it's more important to protect the rights to own guns than it is important to control gun ownership, according to the Pew Research Center. The survey found that more than half of Americans, 52%, sided with gun rights compared to the 46% who favored gun control. The findings represent the continuation of a shift that was only briefly interrupted by the Newtown school shootings in 2012.
If we want to talk about branding, let's talk about the NRA, which I think has done a magnificent job in convincing people that gun ownership is a constitutional right that's under attack, and that's why we're seeing these figures. The most scary thing out of the questions to me in the survey was the thing about people who feel more safe with a gun, and they found an increase of this among minorities, among women. So people are getting guns or are interested in gun ownership, at least, because they think that it protects them. Wow.
Yeah, to quote this from Pew, nearly 6 in 10 Americans, 57%, say gun ownership does more to protect people from becoming victims of crime, while 38% say it does more to endanger personal safety. In the days after Newtown, 48% said guns do more to protect people. 37% said they placed people at risk. The most dramatic shift in opinion took place among Black Americans, according to the nonpartisan Pew. In December 2012, only 29% of Black respondents said owning a gun helps protect people from crime. But this year, 54% said so. And women also seem to have changed their view.
Women and Blacks are remarkable. The other thing in here that's kind of statistics that defy the public impression, I know you love those, Ray, is that gun violence has, despite what we read in the media, gone down. And
correct.
If you ask people, has it gone up or down, the perception is that it's much worse than it's ever been. That frequently happens.
And that's our fault in the media, yeah?
It's not a fault. It's if you cover gun violence, and the media ought to cover gun violence, then you do leave an impression that's incorrect, that that it's increasing rather than decreasing.
Anybody want to weigh in on this?
No, I just want you to know there are a few letters.
Okay, so we're done with this one. Libby, you want to talk about this?
I'm fine.
What, nobody wants to talk about this. I'm surprised.
I wanted to make one point, and that is it's the same thing as we see with Obamacare. You know, again and again and again, you say it enough, people begin to believe it.
That's right.
And that's what happened. The NRA has been smashingly effective in pushing this out there.
I would point out
there's a kid in a park with a phony gun.
Yeah,
people. Well, that's
a toy gun,
the problem.
And he gets shot dead.
That's right.
So
I would suggest that it is a leap to place all of this at the feet of the NRA.
Well, a good deal of it is. That's why they're there.
Who else
that's
would
what
you
they exist.
Well,
yeah.
It could be that this survey reflects, and again, I don't know, but it could be that this survey reflects a general feeling among the population that they need to protect themselves from the taking away of their rights to own guns by the government, state or federal, or protect themselves from the government, state or federal.
And that's an interesting thing. Protect themselves from the government.
Thomas Jefferson talked about it.
Going to arm themselves and to protect themselves from the government. And so we're going to
see that every day, don't you?
Yes, and we're going to see more people on the streets firing back at police. I mean, you know, and the government and walking into government buildings. I'm protecting myself from the government, so I'm going to kill all of you.
I don't know about that.
The NRA has done a good job. They have been branding this concept of gun ownership equals protecting yourself for years because they're now being funded not by the people who have the guns, but by the gun makers. And they've done an excellent job of crafting the public psyche around this.
And God forbid.
You say anything against them.
Yes. This is political poison, you know, for people who are backing. Hey, listen, Ted said, took some exception, Libby. Let's give Albany, any school system, another chance at the risk of failing another generation of children. There may be parents that do not want to take the chance. Let's see.
You only have one go at it when you're a kid.
Yes, on the other hand, a lot of kids have come out of a lot of good schools, and a lot of people have done very well in life. So when you're talking about failing school systems, you're not talking about everybody. You're talking about very few people. So please, let's give the public schools and our wonderful teachers the credit they deserve for having educated so many of the people who are sitting around this table right now.
All of us, I would assume, went to public school.
And we had a letter that said, I feel claiming that the Affordable Care Act as a success may be premature. There may be many examples of those who cannot afford family coverage under ACA. My wife and I are 65. Our coverage was canceled. We are forced to pay for more expensive policy and features we will never use. When all is said and done, the ACA will prove not to be the silver bullet it was advertised for. Tony says, if charter schools truly only admit by lottery, is it by luck that Eva Moskowitz's children are in charter schools? So if they're not in charter schools, they get blamed. If they are in charter schools, they get blamed. I mean, I'm no Eva Moskowitz fan, believe me, who runs, for all of you who don't know, a big network of charter schools, you know, in New York.
Well, the question is, did she pull some strings to get her kids?
No, I know, but how do you know?
You don't.
She may have put her...
And who else is she pulling strings for?
And Kenny G says, charter schools are a prime example of taxation without representation. They are funded with public monies, and yet no one in the public has nay or say on their budgets or how they spend their money. True, public schools in New York have publicly elected boards, and the public can vote on their budgets. Every other level of government spending has a body elected by the public, except for charter schools. And Matthew checks in, and having done the research, and says, the Great Seal of New York can only be used by the governor's office or with approval from the Secretary of State, page 64. Following the Great Seal guidelines, there are broad uses described for the coat of arms outside of being specifically in the Great Seal. I still think of Andrew Cuomo driving down with his motorcycle with the Great Seal on his windshield.
Well, it's like the Batmobile, right? You have to have the logo on it.
The Sealmobile.
Yeah. Anything else?
No.
All right.
Tom wanted to know, what happened to the Regents exam? I remember having to take Regents exams every year. Wasn't it the same? Yeah, it's just more, that's all. The concept of testing, and that's what the debate is about. Is it too much? I took the Regents exam, and someday I'll tell you all about my trip to Spain.
Oh, please do.
I was.
We have a minute.
I use the same essay every single time for the 10 points.
Right.
Remember when the Regents was stolen?
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't have to take chemistry, and I didn't have to take geometry. I was the happiest girl on the planet.
Oh, wow.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, well, that's how you become a political consultant.
That's exactly because I would have done, not done that
I remember
either.
In my school, I got called in, and they accused me of cheating. I got 100 on the history with world background. And the guy said, I said, well, how did I cheat? And the guy said, well, you know, out in Brooklyn, the exam was stolen way out in Brooklyn. And I said, so? He said, well, you're Jewish. It was from a yeshiva.
Wow.
My mother was down there in about 5 minutes.
That's not a
good time. Wow, that's not.
You got 100 on an exam?
I did.
That's impressive.
Did you get 800s on your SATs?
No.
Okay. Did they have SATs in those days?
Oh, indeed.
No, I'm not kidding.
It wasn't like we all
had to take a break
anymore.
To have dinosaur meat between.
I'm not kidding. I don't know when
that
the SATs started.
That was what was public lunch, right?
Yeah,
was
public lunch is
dinosaur meat. Yeah. Right. I thought so.
Yeah.
Oh, the fun we have. All right. If you want to weigh in, continue to do so. Please do. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also go to our website, WAMC.org/roundtable. You know, it began as kind of an upbeat show. We welcomed Mario back out of the hospital, and we had some good things to say. It became quite contentious.
Well,
there's a level of tension in the room.
That's because these people are mad at me all the time.
We love you, Alan. Nobody's mad at you. Come on.
You're so paranoid.
Well, I think that's a good way to leave it. Hopper, let's...
Just because he's paranoid doesn't mean we're not out to get him.
All right, we're out of here. Hour 2 is on the way.